Welcome to Grace Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Thank you for joining us on Sunday evening, April the 21st, 2013.
Hi everyone out there, this is the Grace team from Norway, just shooting a video, giving you a little bit of an update on what we did today, some of the really cool things that God's been doing, and some of the interactions that we had. It's been really good, and they're going to share. We're just super thankful for the support, and it's been great just seeing the responses on Facebook updates, all that. It's been really great.
All right, so God's been doing a lot of things, but briefly just to talk about the university opportunities we've had today. Had a chance to go to Drogvel, which is one of the technical universities here, and just went to the cafeteria, bought coffee, and through that was able to have a conversation for 2 hours. We sat down with some different students and just a lot of really solid, deep questions from one girl in particular. And so if you would just continue to pray that God brings those opportunities and those conversations and allows us to connect with people and just opens those doors and opens our eyes to those people.
All right. Today, a few of us went and visited the nursing school department, and then we were able to be directed to different societies. We went to a floor that we didn't exactly know where everything was, and the first people we asked, we were trying to find the leaders for all the different societies. We just knocked on a random door and asked them where we would find these people. They're like, wait, we're all here. So it was, that was a good answer to prayer about just God kind of collecting these people so that we could access them when we needed to. And that's just one of the things that God has worked out with the various timing things that God has done while we were here.
Well, and so we had also the chance actually to go to the physiotherapy school. And so this actually a proof that prayer is really working, because the way was totally prepared. So we went to the school and we got to the right people. And so the teachers actually had time, and so we get to talk with them. And so what the teachers actually offered us was like that we come during the week and speak in front of the whole class, and inviting them actually to this church here. And so this is a really awesome thing, because normally physiotherapists are really close and busy. And so this was just a way that God opened the door and led us to the right people. So please pray for us that God will still open the things for us and keep going the way He is doing it right now here in Norway. And so I'm really excited to see what's going also on the coming days.
And then also while we were talking with some of the directors at that physical therapy clinic, I was sitting there like, how can I bring up athletic training? These people probably don't even know what it is, because it's not very popular outside of the States. And I was like, they're not even going to know what it is. They're not going to know what I'm talking about. And I brought something about sports up, and she said that actually a lot of them kind of get disappointed when they get into the program at first, because they think that it leads them into sports, and it actually doesn't. It has nothing to do with that. So I actually feel like I have a lot to talk with them about. I'm really excited to have some conversations later when we go on Thursday. Just pray for those conversations potential.
Tonight, a big group of us got together and broke up into smaller groups and went around downtown Trondheim to witness and to invite people to the gospel workshop going on this weekend, and also a get-together conversational English and kind of a get-to-know Norway fun time with desserts and games. And there was mixed responses, a lot of atheists and Lutherans, which is the state church. Also, we noticed that the younger generation was a little bit more acceptant to our message that we were trying to get across. But we did connect with a lot of good people, and hopefully we'll have a good turnout. And just want to once again thank everybody for your prayers and support, and we'll see you soon.
It's great to have you with us tonight, and that's just a taste of what we're going to hear in just a few minutes. Of course, we just saw that video that tells us a little bit about what they were expecting and maybe a few things, but now I think we'll get to hear from them in just a minute about what happened and some of the results, so we're excited about that. I want to remind you of three things. One, I want to welcome you. We're glad to have some visitors tonight that have come maybe specifically to hear some of the presentations. We're going to hear from the Norway team in just a minute, a little bit more in depth of what God's doing in their lives. And then in a few minutes, we're going to hear from the Walker County Prison Team, the Returning Hearts Celebration that actually was just yesterday. So we're going to hear some testimonies from them as well. I want to remind you of two things. One, the Community Kitchen drive that we're trying to have to raise some food for them. Bill Summers had a big number 10 can of green beans this morning. Those are the kind of things that they're looking for. So we're going to do that next Sunday. And if you can bring all your stuff and put it over here in the commons area, this entrance over here, I think we can keep it out of the lobby and maybe keep people from tripping over it. So those are definite door stoppers. You don't want to hit one of those with your toes. So that'll be out here in the commons area. So if you can remember to do that. And then also mentioned this morning, Mike was talking about the Grace Academy Teachers Appreciation or Employee Appreciation. And we're going to have a luncheon for them on May the 7th. And what we'd like to do is for you to help us bring some food for that. If you would like to sign up to help serve, we would love for you to meet some of these people in our school. And I know that they would love to interact with you. There are a lot of cards out there with a employee's name on it. We'd like for you to take that card, write a little note to them. You may not even know them, but it has a little bit of what they do on the front of that card. We'd love for you to take that, write them a note, and then we'll present it to them that day at the luncheon. Well, I'm going to open in prayer. Actually, we've already started. It's already been good. Some great pictures. I'm sure that was a culmination of a lot of collection of pictures, but some great, beautiful pictures. Looking forward to testimonies, and I'll turn it over to them right after I pray. God, we thank you so much for just the opportunity to reach around the world. I know that Grace Baptist is known around the world for reaching out and supporting missions, and we just thank you that we can have the privilege to pray and to give and to go. And we thank you for this group that just got back from Norway and the opportunity we have there. But Lord, we also thank you for local opportunities that we have to serve you, just like the prison ministry here at Walker County. I know in just a few weeks they're going to Angola in Louisiana to minister to those inmates and the children there too, Lord. There are so many things and opportunities that we have. Lord, please help us not to be complacent or take things for granted, but to look to you and see where you're working and go there and join you. And Lord, may you just reap the fruit from that. May we just be willing to be used. God, in this service tonight, we pray that you would just give clarity of thought as those that speak. We pray that you would just empower them now. And we thank you so much for this opportunity tonight. In your son's name we pray. Amen.
Good evening. Hello, Norway team. I can't see you real good, but I know you're there. I'm Pastor Jim Crockett at Bible Baptist Church in Hendersonville, Tennessee. It was my privilege and honor to be a part of this team that went to Norway. Scotty hooked me up in Norway about a year ago, and God is doing some pretty amazing things there. The trip in March was a culmination of a year of work and planning, and God put together a team of college students that were spectacular in everything that they did. The group out of Chattanooga, your group from Grace, represented not only your church well, but more importantly, they represented Christ in a magnificent way. And we were privileged to see God do some amazing, amazing things. And I'm excited about the future and what God's going to do, not only in the lives of these students, but also in Norway. I wanted to thank you as a church for partnering with our church and with other students, of course, with Pastor Wolf Magne Lovedahl and the work in Norway. There's a great darkness there, and in order for this country to be reached, it's going to take others coming alongside and partnering in the spreading of the gospel and the light of the gospel into this country. And there is a great opportunity to do so. Thank you for the support that you gave to your students that allowed them to go. I can tell you it was money well invested, not just during the time that we're there, but I am certain we'll bring a lasting dividend in their lives as they move forward. And I'm very thankful for that. Thank you for partnering with Bible Baptist Church and our commitment there. I understand more and more how important it is that we as a church work together in reaching not only our communities, but we reach our world with the gospel. And I just want to thank you for doing that and looking forward to what God's going to do. I want to say a big word of thanks to Scott, Beth Ann Staub, and their kids and the impact that they have made around the world. He is the catalyst for why we're there. God's using him in a fantastic way there, and we just appreciate that. I really wish that I could be there tonight with the students to not just hear by way of Skype, but to participate with them live and in person. And I am just excited. I'm continuing to pray for each one of you, but I believe that God has some great things in store for you. And if we can just get a couple of them to get busy doing something, very concerned about Elise and her ability to get out and do anything. So I'm hoping y'all are able to kind of get her motivated. And Aaron, man, it's just an oh snap moment for me that I'm not able to be there with you tonight. And but maybe soon we can be together and have a great time. Scotty, God bless you. Thank you. And praying for you, buddy. Let's have a word of prayer and ask God to bless this evening. Father, I thank you for this night, for your goodness, for the greatness and the greatness of your work, not only in Chattanooga and Hendersonville, but Lord, certainly all around the world. We rejoice to know what you're doing in Norway, and Lord, as the students tonight share with you the moments and the events in which they saw you work. I pray that the work that you did in each of our heart would be captured by the minds and the hearts of those there at Grace tonight. I pray for Norway, pray for Ulf Magne Lovdahl and his team of workers there. I pray for Matt Burns and Tim Sossen, Bob and Mary Scott Burns and others, that you would use them to reach this country with the gospel. Lord, may the magnitude of the light continue to grow with each passing day. We continue to pray for the students and the people that we're able to reach with the gospel. Lord, many for the very first time hearing any part of the gospel. And I pray that the seed that has been sown, the soil that has been tilled, that, dear Lord, you'd continue to work, you'd continue to water and bring forth fruit in the seed that's been planted. Lord, again, thank you for your goodness and your blessings. Bless this night. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.
All right. Well, it has been said, what we are doing is kind of part of a longer ministry there. Tim Sossen actually got his visa. He did not have it. He's kind of the guy who's, you know, doing, you know, long-term stuff there along with the national church. Not to be confused with the state church, but the Baptist church that's in there. And so what was weird was he wasn't even able to come with us on the trip. You know, we're planning and we're hoping he's going to be there and our point man's not there. And we're just kind of like, oh, okay, so now what are we going to do? You know, what's the plan? And if I took one thing away from this trip, is just learning about the styles of evangelism. Because on Tuesday night, we went out to try to invite people to the Conversational English Night and the gospel conference that the church was having. And it was just tough, you know, because you go up to someone and you're like, oh, here, let me give you a card, and they knew exactly what you were after. And they're like, no, ain't going to have none of this, you know. And so you felt defeated after a night like that, and you felt like, okay, well, I came all the way around the world to share the gospel with these people, and they don't want any of it. You know, they're happy with their money that they get from the government, but it's not filling them up. So when we went to the universities and we just sat down and talked with people and had organic, you know, conversations, you know, they started asking us for our Facebook information, you know, and it was like, wait a second, I thought Norway was kind of like, they're nice, but they're not going to let you in, you know. And so one of the guys and I went to I guess it was Drogvol, the giant. Okay, we called it Hogwarts because it was this giant school. And anyways, and so we went there and we have no idea what we're doing. It's just us two guys, and we decided to sit next to this guy who was by himself. And so we started talking with him, and so we were asking him what he thought about American culture. And the guy that was with me, he was like doing all the things. I was like, I don't think we're supposed to do that. I don't think we're supposed to ask how he likes America. I don't think we're supposed to like ask what he thinks about, you know, all American culture. Anyways, but he loved Dolly Parton, and it was just strange. But we talked with him for about an hour and a half, and then we were going to give him this book because he's involved with the church ministry, but his view of God was just kind of, you know, this new agey idea, and the pastor had this book that, you know, kind of addressed that. And he's like, oh no. And he very politely told us that we had stepped over a boundary. And I was like, we just can't do anything here. And so we had told him about the conversational English night that night. And sure enough, he came. And I was like, wow, Oyvind came. And this is really cool. And there were several other students that people had met that day that came. And, you know, the conversational English night, we were just getting together. We were just having a good time. We were just sharing, you know, cultures and sharing interests. And, you know, friendships just formed. And the next day, several of them went souvenir shopping with us. And it just established, you know, an ongoing relationship. We're friends on Facebook. You know, we're able to interact. We've got them linked up with Tim, so he's going to have follow-up. So it just taught me a lot that, you know, it's important how you treat people, you know, and how you love people and how you let your relationships be organic and not, okay, I'm going to share the gospel with this person and that's my goal. This is my project to work on. I don't think, you know, God called us necessarily to throw sales pitches at people, but I think, you know, he wants us to share our lives with people and, you know, preach the gospel when we can, you know, when the opportunities arise. But, you know, if you're coming at people with a sales pitch, you know, I just saw the difference between, you know, loving people honestly and organically and, hey, you're my project I'm going to work on. So just what I took away from there, pray for Oyvind. I told him I'd take him to Dollywood if he ever came here. I can't remember his. I want to say Eru, but that's not his name. Not Arne, but you can pray for him too. But there's this bald guy, and he's like in the Norwegian. Erling. All right, Erling. Pray for him. Pray for On too. They were the ones that spent time with us, and it was really cool, you know, just to make friendships that keep going. And so that's what I took away.
All right. I was really exposed to the spiritual environment. I was very interested in that because it was somewhat what our culture seems to be heading towards is more of a post-Christian where they have seemingly tried Christianity. It's kind of like been there, done that, got the T-shirt kind of thing. It didn't work. But the thing is about their views of Christianity is most of it is from a works-based system. It's you earn your salvation by doing good things, about being part of a church. And so whenever you talk to a lot of people, you mention the word church or you mention the word God, it's like suddenly they don't want to talk to you anymore. They're fine talking to you as a student, but it's because they've been told their whole life that, you know, that you just go and you do these things when it's actually, they don't know that it's about freedom in Christ, about how Christ has done, he has taken all of our sins and done away with them, and then we're free to do the right thing from that. So it was good to talk to these people about that. And a lot of times we did our evangelistic conference, and somebody had made the comment that I've never really heard the gospel presented like this. The Baptist church is just kind of a smaller church, and there's a lot of barriers between communication with the people in the church, because a lot of times they won't actually share what their heart is. We felt like the very loud Americans like on buses and such, people would be sitting there and they wouldn't talk to each other. So we would come and sit down like, hey, how are you? And they're like, hi. And like very almost closed at first, but then you get to talking to them. And I think that they were kind to us because we were the odd Americans that didn't know that we weren't supposed to talk about that stuff in a lot of ways. But they would open up to us and let us talk about spiritual things. And it's like as soon as you got the door open, you had a very good conversation. And the thing is, they have the same questions that people in different colleges in America have about who is God and what about this in the Bible and what about evolution, but they don't have anybody to really talk to them about it. So I had a very good conversation with a guy named Arne, who we briefly mentioned to pray for, and just talking about evolution and, you know, what does the Bible say about this issue and what does the Bible say about that issue? And it's not something he would probably go up to a Norwegian and ask, but we were given an opportunity, a rare opportunity to just share our beliefs with these people because of our out-of-place, awkward cultural differences. So it was just a great trip to go on and to talk to people. And just instead of, you know, just like Aaron said, not trying to sell them something, but to love these people and through that love and having that relationship with them, just to have that door open for us. So.
One of the things that we did every day was we went to the universities and talked to students. And we would just go and talk to them for hours about life and just anything. And then eventually, if we could, get it to a spiritual subject. And there was one case in particular that really stood out to me. It was a girl named Sonova. And as we were talking with her, she began to ask questions that were getting deep theological questions that at a certain point you can't really explain. You just have to say God knows best, you know, that he does those things for a reason, and we can't explain that, we can't really understand that. And that was hard because it almost sounds like we don't know what we're talking about, but it's just one of those things that we're not going to understand. But just the fact that she had thought about those things and she had those questions was really amazing to me, because for the most part, here in America or whatever, people, especially my age, don't really care about that kind of stuff. They just kind of go on with life and, you know, whatever. But you could tell that she had spent time thinking about those things, and really it mattered to her in her heart. The answers to those questions. And it really made an impact in my life, because there's no one there to answer those questions for. There's no one to, you know, teach her through those things and those issues. And there's the only church around is that one there in Trondheim. And so the need for Christians and the need for that church is extremely important, I think. And I think that Tim is doing a great thing going over there, and I hope that his ministry is going to grow, and that as a result of that, that a lot of those students will come to know Christ.
I'm going to read a brief letter from Julie Spencer, who wasn't able to be with us, but was part of our, be with us tonight, but had been part of our team. She's up at MTSU finishing up school, so if you'd pray for her. She said, I'm thankful for the opportunity to go on this trip in particular because I grew. I grew in my ability to go up to someone with the intention of inviting them to church or talking to them about God. I learned to listen to the Holy Spirit, do what he told me to do, and go where he told me to go. As contradictory as it sounds, this was indescribably liberating, and I was happy, content, and joyful, even though I think I must have been very cold and tired most of the time. I didn't really care because I was happy to have the freedom to obey God. I learned to better trust God as opposed to having the entire week planned by someone else before we arrived. There's absolutely nothing wrong with this. It's just the only mission trip experience I've had in the past. Instead, we started with a very basic blueprint of objectives of the week. Then the Holy Spirit showed us what each of us should work on based on the tools, experiences, talents, education, and spiritual gifts each of us brought with us. Last, he helped us accomplish those tasks by orchestrating people, schedules, and coincidences in order to introduce as much of the community as possible to this local church, Trondheim Baptist Church. I feel that God exceeded everyone's expectations. We were not run out of the country by talking too much. We were able to make connections and invite people to our activities. They actually came to those activities. They continued to come to the church even after we left. Things I learned: shut the door because the hallway is cold. Don't wear a hat all the time because apparently having nice hair is way more important than having a warm head or ears. That was not her personal preference, but she said to explain that the girls over there don't wear hats. And she said, I wanted to be warm, so she wore a hat. Anyway, she said, always have room in your pockets for your gloves or you will accidentally leave them on the bus. Even the locals slip sometimes, so don't feel bad if you lose your footing for a second. Make sure the bus you need to get on isn't pulling away from the bus stop that is across the street from the one that you are currently standing at. So that's Julie Spencer, and she is finishing up. She'll graduate here May 11th from MTSU doing athletic training. And so continue to pray for her and how God directs her. It's been neat to see her grow and be part of our ministry. Me personally, I think sometimes we maybe neglect the preparation process, and I just want to thank you guys for your support and helping us raise the money quickly to go to Norway. I'll be honest, I told some people, God's going to provide, and I was having some doubt. And God just was reminding me of James 1:5-8, and just to ask without doubting, and really growing my faith in that sense. And Andrew Ward, one of the nights we did preparation, did a great job in talking about support raising being a partnership together. And I think one of the examples of that was little Lily McDowell, if some of you know her. She wants to be a missionary when she grows up. And she cannot go right now because she's just a young child. But we can be her hands and feet and partner with her in the gospel and to go and spread that on her behalf and share. And so it was neat to see her grow through her personally making a sacrifice, selling a bunch of brownies and cookies to all the neighbors to help raise money for our trip. And I was telling some people, even if we didn't get on that plane, God was doing a lot of neat things in the preparation process. And my personal prayer was that we could make God's name known to that nation and to encourage the church in Norway and just see God work in mighty ways. And starting out with some conversations on the plane, I love those because it's a captive audience. They can't get away unless they decide to jump out. So you get to share with them. And there was a man sitting next to me, and after that conversation, I was like, this is going to be a little hard. This is going to be a little tougher than normal. And so I was doing some journaling, and it was night time usually, so everybody was sleeping on the plane. And I was like, okay, God, this is going to be difficult. And I looked down the row, and there was a man, and he had his little light on, and he had his Bible out, and in the middle of the night was reading his Bible. And I said, thank you. That's such an encouragement just to see God is faithful, and there are people who love him, and there are people who are seeking him, and just to be encouraged and step forward. So you heard a little bit about the culture and some of those obstacles we had to face. I think to describe this trip, I would say it was a groundbreaking tilling type of trip. So this church, they hadn't done anything like this before. And so part of this was us kind of going out and trying different methods of ministry to see what would work for future trips and future teams and just step out and be able to try some things for them. You heard about some different students and questions and what that looked like on the campus. That was one of those things we didn't know we were going to get as involved in. And before I left, that's on my heart. And I love campus ministry. And so I was excited to go in the afternoons at lunch and just sit down with students and talk about culture, talk about life, and then see God open doors to talk about him and what it means to have a relationship with him. The Christian students there have a Bible study. They meet on Tuesday evenings and at the church, just a little handful of them. And that was really encouraging to me to be able to see them growing. And they just ask so many questions about, so how do you share Jesus with people you know? And they're so hungry to learn how to do that. And so I'd ask you to pray for those students. I think they can make a great impact on the lives of their campus. The greatest encouragement for the church, I believe, was one of those conversational English nights. The pastor and some of the church leaders said, we are experiencing miracles. And what he meant by that was, he said, people do not come in and step into the Baptist church for conversational English. The fact that they came in these doors, this is God doing miracles for us. And so they were so excited about that opportunity. And Aaron mentioned Oyvind, the one guy who wouldn't take a book from him. Apparently, later, Aaron saw me at the Conversational English with Oyvind, and I had my Bible and a bunch of other different things all pulled out, and Aaron was like, oh no, Elise doesn't know. And praise God, Oyvind took a Bible. He messaged me this past week on Facebook and said, I'm really busy with finals, but I'm going to read the book of John, and I'll let you know about it. So pray for him. I really think that he is going to be someone who God just uses in great ways in that culture. And he originally was going to a conservatory, and you saw a picture of him playing the piano one night. That was a really special time. And I just envision him being a church leader somewhere in a church one day in Norway. And so if you pray, continue to pray for him. For future ministry, I think they've got great opportunities on the campus to reach out there with international students as well, and have a great opening there. For our college group, we've talked about we want this to be a partnership for the gospel. And then for me personally, I think God just allowing me to use just evangelism, my heart for evangelism, and then also as I prepare and God's kind of confirmed for me, I'll be interning with Campus Crusade at UTC after graduation in the fall, and so just praying about those different things as well. But thank you so much for your support and your prayers and allowing us to be able to go.
I just want to close by echoing our thanks for each and every one of you. Parents, I want to thank you for raising such awesome kids. They were such a blessing. They were leaders. We had 15 total young people, and a lot of them were younger than our students that went. But our guys just kind of led, and they would all follow when they'd go off to these colleges. A lot of them were scared to talk to people, and so they'd hook up with Elise or Aaron or some of the other guys that were a little more bold, and then they got bold as the week went on, and it was just neat to see. So thank you, parents, for raising such awesome kids. Also, you saw Stefan, Julie's boyfriend, went with us as well, and he was real encouragement, and I wish he could have given a testimony because he had inroads and just a fire about him as far as sharing his faith and talking to people that other people didn't have because he's European, and for him to do that was really exciting. I do have a thank you from that I want to pass on from Pastor Ulf Magne Lovdahl. He has given a gift to each of our students. This is a book that he wrote. It's in English, and difficult verses in the Bible. So he sent that with me after the team left, and he wanted each member to have one of these as a thank you. Pray for us in October. We've been invited back. That's a good success of a good trip, is that you're invited back. So we are going to be going to the village of Opdal and doing similar work. It's a very tough area. So be in prayer that God will go before us. And eventually, we're praying about starting a Bible school there. So please be in prayer for Pastor Crockett as he works on his doctorate so that he can kind of be the foundation for that. And let me just close in prayer and thank you as a church. And let's give all the glory to God because he did everything. We just were willing to go. Father, we thank you so much for your goodness. We saw your majesty through the beautiful sights of the mountains and the northern lights. We were able to see your power and your strength every day as you broke down walls of culture and conversation and religion. You broke down our timidity, our inability to share our faith. You got us over being cold and feeling that we didn't fit in. And Lord, we give you all the credit. You are a magnificent God, the only true God. And as Kelly gave us the word this morning, we got this. We received this message from you, and you did it. And so, Lord, we want to follow you, and I pray for each student that's here and all of our students here in Chattanooga that we will be lights in this dark place, and that we will continue to do your will every step of the way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you to the Norway team. Appreciate the presentation. We're going to sing a little bit, but I think for the sake of time, we're going to take the offering, and then we're going to get the Walker County Prison Team up here. Why don't you stand with me, and I'm going to ask the ushers if they would come. I'll give you a chance just to take a little break from the pew. And why don't the Walker County team come down, at least down front, so we'll at least see who you are. And if all of you don't speak, that's okay, but I know some of you will. But those that are there here tonight, if y'all can kind of come down. And all right, so let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity to give. May what we give tonight and different times of the year, Lord, as we support missions and this church ministry, may it just be used for your honor and your glory. Amen.
I'll give you just kind of a quick overview of the day and then let some of my team members fill in with specific events from the time. The Returning Hearts celebration, in case you don't know, which I'm sure you do, so I won't spend a lot of time, but it's a day where inmates who qualify, and it's a pretty stringent qualification, get this day where their kids, or in some cases nieces and nephews, come into the prison and get to spend the day interacting with them in kind of a fun fair type environment. And what's neat about it is it's so much more than just like a fun fair. There's the interaction is priceless, but the issue in these homes isn't necessarily a crime issue or a socioeconomic issue. The issue is it's a heart issue. They're broken and they need the gospel. And so the gospel was presented multiple times. There was a separate program for the general population that wasn't part of what we did. where they received the gospel. There was another program at a church down the street for the people who brought the children, for them to hear the gospel. And then the part that we were in, there the gospel was presented to the inmate fathers and the children. And so that was, I mean, the heart of the issue was getting the gospel to these children, these inmates. As far as the numbers go, this is the second year that they've had this at Walker. Last year we sent a group of about 13. This year we took a group of about 20. So good participation. People from our church did several different jobs. There's a job called a family assistant where you get to spend the day with the inmate father and the children and just kind of help them out and carry their stuff and wrangle shoes when they go in the inflatables and all kinds of other things. And you're just there and you interact. You get to sit down and eat lunch with them. And it's just, you just kind of just spend the day just with them. And there was other people who were game attendants who worked kind of booze, and there were other people who helped with food, and there was all kinds of different ways, but all of it kind of comes together, you know, for the gospel to reach into the lives of these families. The books that Carol brought up, that was a neat thing. Philip Rogers writes the Discovering God series, and they're children's books, and it's very, very basic, you know, who is God, what's sin, what's the need, and all the kids got to take home two of his books, and I'm excited about that because they're really nice, and they're going to stick around, you know, they won't get lost, or, you know, they'll keep them, but the gospel is going into places that you and I will never get when those kids take those books home. So there's, you know, there's exciting future ramifications to just them being there. The other issue is the interaction between the inmate fathers and their children, or like I said, nieces and nephews sometimes. If you can fathom their whole relationship being across a visiting room table, you know, their whole lives, and to have a time where one of the things I remember was during the program, I saw an inmate and his daughter, and she was small. I don't remember how old. I couldn't really tell. But he was holding her in there watching the program, and she just had her head down on his chest. And in any other context, you know, that's not that. But they may never have experienced that before, and it's certainly not a common event. And just something as small, she was probably too small. She may not remember that, but I'm sure he will remember it. I will remember it just watching it. So anyway, just little snippets of interaction that are common to us that are so rare and uncommon for them. One last thing. I got a chance to chat a little bit with the chaplain. There's a new chaplain at the prison, and he was interested in a discipleship program, and he has inmates there in the prison who want to be discipled, and basically you're looking at a commitment of once or twice a month going down, meeting with somebody, walking with them through a discipleship thing, and there are people there. And so if that's something that you're interested in, I can put you in contact with the chaplain, and he would love to see that flourish. Anyway, anybody else? I'm going to sit down and let you share what you've got.
My husband said, I have to do this. No, it was truly a blessing. Kurt and I were family assistants to a young man, 32 years old, who had been there for 10 years. His son, 10-year-old son, came in. His two 10-year-old nieces and a 4-year-old nephew came to visit him. So we had our hands full for the day, trying to keep them all together, which we weren't able to do. But it was so neat to see this young man get on the inflatable and slide down that thing with that 4-year-old and play basketball with his 10-year-old son. And I saw him hug him and kiss him and tell him he loved him, which, I mean, they don't get chances to do that otherwise. Friday night, we went down for orientation, and some of the inmates gave testimonies, and it just blesses your heart to hear how they came to know Christ through the Malachi program and were growing spiritually. Kurt got a chance to ask Ben, our guy, if he knew Christ as his Savior, and he said yes, he had trusted Christ back in November. So we're praying for him, his spiritual growth, and he thought maybe within a year or so he might be released. And so that would be wonderful, because he's a changed person now, and it's just great to see the change in these men. And you know, the ones that are in there for life or many decades, I mean, this is the only hope that they have, is to trust Christ, and this gives them at least hope for life. And so it was a wonderful experience. I praise the Lord for it.
This was the first time I got to go to Walker County. I didn't get to go last year. I did go to Angola, and both years I was able to walk around with teenage girls and their dads. And yesterday it was a 15-year-old girl, and it was really neat to see him affirm her and tell her how beautiful she is, and to proudly introduce her to the friends that he has in prison and the chaplains and people who've been mentoring and discipling him. And you could just tell that she needed that, and that was building her up. I don't think they've had a relationship for very long. I didn't catch when they had met and started a relationship, but I don't think it's been for very long. He just got saved in November also, and this was neat to hear, because Brainerd Baptist here in town goes down on Tuesday nights and has a study with them, and the pastor of Brainerd Baptist was there at that time, and that's when he got saved. And so it's neat to hear, too, how just different churches in our community are working together to minister at this prison, and to see how God brought him to himself through that ministry, and then through Awana, and he's being discipled. And that opportunity Matt just mentioned about discipling these men, wow, if you men out here aren't discipling somebody, I'm begging you to jump on this and get involved in somebody's life and help them to grow, because it's an interfaith prison, so that does not mean it's a Christian prison. And this guy in particular that I walked around with yesterday was a Muslim for 8 years. He came to Walker County as a Muslim, and so all these men are not Christians there, and they're not all hearing the Christian gospel message being presented. And even amongst people who call themselves Christians, there's a lot of different beliefs, and it's not all based on the Bible. So take that opportunity, because, you know, even some things that I heard shared different places yesterday, I was like, oh, that's not quite, you know, maybe not quite right on with Scripture, or, you know, but we have an opportunity to share the truth with them and help disciple, and that's pretty awesome. I love this ministry because I really feel like in our country, we look at everybody, you know, we all see how we're slowly turning away from God as a country, maybe quickly. And yet this particular ministry is an open door. Like Matt shared, everybody gets to hear the gospel presented. But these kids aren't going to be influenced. But the greatest influence is going to be their parents. And if they have that opportunity to meet their dad or meet their uncle, and for them to, as a believer, as a man who's growing in the Lord, to be able to share truth with them and develop a relationship with them, I believe that this is one of those things that is really, really has the potential to change our culture and change people's hearts and lives. I wish it was in more prisons. You know, I wish that this program was in more prisons across our country. But at least we, as our church, you know, as a church, have an opportunity twice a year now to be able to be involved in it, and I'm really thankful for that.
Evening, y'all. My name is Jeff. This is my first opportunity to be involved in a ministry, any kind of ministry in this church. And it was, to be quite honest, I was very apprehensive about going. But the good news is that not only did they let me in, they let me back out twice, Friday and Saturday. So I praise the Lord for that. But in all seriousness, though, the Saturday when all the children and everything, everybody came in, unfortunately, apparently not all the families showed up, something like that. So I was supposed to be a family assistant, but didn't actually have a family to assist. So, but that was actually kind of a blessing in disguise because, especially with it being my first time, it gave me the opportunity to just stand back and just watch, to just observe and listen. And what I saw was pretty amazing. You know, I saw these fathers, some of whom, like has been mentioned, are lifers, will never get out, have done some pretty hardcore things in their past to get in there, yet are now, by the grace of God, true believers. And then you just see when their children come in, these you know, who used to be hardened criminals just become big teddy bears with their children. I got to see and hear these fathers just being dads, just spending time with their kids. But one of the amazing things was that just listening to the conversation, you know, these guys, they didn't just spend the time playing with their kids or, you know, just having a good time. They were genuinely trying to impart spiritual things into their children's lives in the time that they had, because they don't get that opportunity every day. As a matter of fact, rarely. So it was a real blessing to see that. And one of the guys in particular I talked to, since I didn't have a family to assist, it gave me the opportunity to talk to some of the other guys whose families were not there. And one gentleman in particular is his name is Daryl. He's one of the ones who will never get out. But he's a born again believer. He's very committed, and the prison has a seminary program that the inmates that are interested in can go through free of charge and earn a seminary degree. And he is one of the graduates of that program. And I got to spend time with this man and talking to him. And you know, he related that that basically his wife wants absolutely nothing to do with him and refuses to send the children in to see him. And you could hear the disappointment in his voice. But at the same time, this man was just so full of joy and peace. And you can just see it. And the whole time that I was talking to him, this is the part that really amazed me. You know, we were there to minister to them and to witness to them. But this man spent all his time in our conversation witnessing to me, telling me about Christ and about the Bible. Quite honestly, he knew more than I did, and I've grown up with it all my life. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but in his case, it's a good thing. And you could just hear that about his love for God, and basically he's a prison preacher in the truest sense, because he's actually an inmate and will never get out. But the way he looks at it is that, you know, that's his mission field. You know, that's where he's at, and that's where he's going to serve and live for God. And that's that was inspiring because it just really made me think about, you know, all of us who have the ability to live out here and, you know, do anything we want to. And I look at him, and I look at me, and, you know, other people, and, you know, it's easy to see, you know, looking at everything this man's doing. I mean, just, you know, just going hard for Christ. And it really made me think, you know, I'm really not doing enough. I'm not doing enough to make sure that my family and my friends and my community, you know, hears about Christ. If this man can do it behind bars with his fellow inmates, you know, without being ashamed, without reservation, then I have no excuse, you know. So it was really eye-opening, and I'm glad I got the opportunity to go, and I'm glad I got the opportunity to just, like I said, to just sit back and observe and just listen. Like I said, it was really touching to just listen to these guys as they just tried to impart that spiritual desire into their children. It really was. So I thank you as a church for sending us, allowing us to go. And I do look forward to being involved in more ministry opportunities with you. So thank you.
One of the reasons I love this ministry so much is because to me it is a picture of what the gospel is. We were in chains and we are set free. And these men may never walk out of the bars, you know, but they will. They are free men because they know Christ. And one of the coolest things, I could tell you many cool things that happened yesterday, but as we were leaving the fair, the fun festival part, and going outside to release the balloons at the very end, the inmates had to go out a different way. And I was walking with my little girl, who was absolutely adorable, and we were just chatting on our way out, and the chaplain stopped her and said, "Hey, is your dad Phil?" And she, "Yeah, that's my dad. He is a good man. He is a good, good man." And to me, that was probably the most important thing that she heard yesterday, because who knows what she hears at home about her dad, but somebody that didn't know her, somebody that, you know, I didn't know her dad, but somebody knew her dad and knew that he was a good man. And I love that just even reiterates the picture that when we are in Christ, he makes us good. And it doesn't matter what we've done before. So for me, that was probably the neatest thing that happened yesterday. And it was a great reminder to me that we are free, free indeed.
This was the first chance I've had to go to one of the prison ministries too. And I've always been interested in prisons, but I didn't particularly want to go, you know, to have to stay there. So it was really good. But I also was, you know, you don't know what to expect. And it is beautiful. The setting is beautiful. It's in the hills. The grounds are beautiful, all kept by the inmates. The inside smells like antiseptic. And being there, I mean, that's great. I love Clorox, you know. So it would, but you know, you think that you're going, it would be dirty. I mean, you think prison, it would be terrible. But it's might actually be better than being in our gym. I think that gym might be a little cleaner. So it was just like going to an Awana fair. So if anybody has any reservations about going, you shouldn't, because it's just like going across over there to go to the Awana fair. And the family that I got to be with was a 13-year-old boy and his 12-year-old, I think she was about 12-year-old sister. And it was just the sweetest thing. They were the nicest family. They just hugged each other all day long. The dad just kept saying, "Hey, baby girl, you're so cute, you know, and I like your hair that way." And they were just hugging each other. The little boy was just hanging on his dad. And it was just the sweetest thing. And they all jumped into the big bouncy room, and they all just threw themselves on each other and were fighting and jumping up and down and bouncing and crashing into each other and just having, you know, just rollicking together, which was great. They never get to do that. So it's just a lot of fun, and it's just like being there with your friends. Somebody suggested it was kind of like a family reunion, And that's what it was. So don't be afraid to go. It's just a lot of fun. So thank you.
I obviously didn't get the memo, and I don't think I'm on the schedule, but I wanted to say something. This is the first time I have been, and I did games, and I was in the duck pond. It was a very popular game because there was water, and the kids loved to play in the water. But one thing that impressed me, the woman who was responsible for bringing this program to this prison, and I think it's the only one in Georgia, if I'm not mistaken, did it because her family has someone in their family who was incarcerated. She is a lawyer herself, and she said they never dreamed that they would be faced with that, but they were. And also, one of the testimonies of one of the inmates, he mentioned that his child came to know the Lord last year at this program the day last year. And then I don't know if I didn't hear any statistics, but there were several children who stood up yesterday to receive the Lord. And we were in the gym, and our games were kind of over in one place, and I dodged footballs and basketballs and all day because they were just coming from everywhere. But the man who was next to me, who was doing another game, he's a school teacher somewhere in southern part of Georgia, and he ran into two of his students there. He had no idea that his students' fathers were in prison, and he was shocked. He really didn't know how to handle it at first, but it just reminded me that it can happen to anyone. You know, we never know who we're rubbing shoulders with who may be hurting in that way. So it was really, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I'll share one little scene with you if I can do it. While it was pretty noisy and it was pretty wild with all the things going on at the same time and everybody talking and laughing, but I looked over and just over to one side, there was this very large inmate and this little boy. And the inmate was... he was on his knee, down on one knee, and the little boy was down on both knees, and he was trying to tie his dad's shoe. And I've never taught anyone to tie shoes, but I've heard where you go around this and across this, and I know there's a little thing you do. And I think that's what he was doing. I couldn't hear them, but the little boy, and they were there, I don't know how long, but it was like they were the only two in the whole room. They were totally oblivious to anything else, and the man was so patient, and the little boy just little bitty hands and these big feet, you know, and he is tying this shoe, and I thought, things that are taken so for granted, he would never have had this opportunity if it hadn't been for yesterday. So it was tremendous, and I'm very thankful to have gone.
Some awesome, awesome things. I know that Mike Swanson and some of the others are trying to recruit for Angola, so if you're interested in that, it's an opportunity. I think it's just about a month away, maybe not quite a month, so we can look forward to that. Well, good night tonight. Just some awesome things happening, as I said earlier, around the world and right here close to home that we can get involved in. So let's pray for one another this week that we'll have opportunities to share Christ and get involved in people's lives here in our neighborhoods. Be in prayer for Pastor and Mary. Is there a way? I think they'll be coming back the 4th, I believe, of May. They were in China for 10 or 12 days, and then they're coming back through Seattle and stopping for just a few days with Peter and Laura and their family. So look forward to seeing them, I'm sure, and their family reunion. So let's pray tonight. Lord, thank you so much for the opportunities that you give us on a regular basis. Lord, I know oftentimes I squander those away, and I pray that you would help me to be able to look fully at opportunities that I have. And as a congregation, Lord, in our community, day after day, I know that we're faced with opportunities to share Christ. And may our words and our actions, just our lives, really reflect your character. And may you give us opportunities this week, and may we face them with courage and boldness to know that you're there with us and give us the words to say. Thank you, Lord, for this church and every ministry that's represented through this church. We praise you and thank you for placing us here, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. Have a great week.
Thank you for worshiping with us today. Grace Baptist Church exists to glorify God by knowing Him through His Word, loving Him through worship and obedience, and serving Him by caring for others. For more information about our ministries, please go to www.aboutgracebaptist.org. See you next time.